Evening. My name's Israel Kaplan. Topic tonight we'll talk about is gambling. So it's a broad topic, it has many different parts to it, but I want to cover firstly real gambling, playing poker or card games and such things, casinos, whether it's mutter or osso, whether it's advised, and then coming from there, betting, sports bets, and high risk investments, Bitcoin, trading, all the shares. Is there a difference? What's the difference? What's mutter and what's awesome? So we'll start with one concept which has to be understood is something called an asmachta. So in general, secular law in general in the world, if you make a deal with someone, an agreement with someone, that if such and such happens, then you'll pay them money, then that is binding. Whether contract, whether it's written, however, the law says that if you said you're going to do it, then you'll have to follow through. Halacha is unique. There's an idea called the smachta, and that is that the chazal, the Torah, recognizes that sometimes a person says something, but he doesn't really mean it. His subconscious, he never thought that the outcome would happen, and therefore he was never gumadas, it's called. He never really meant for this to occur, and therefore we say that since he didn't have the right das, he never planned on this happening, then he's not obligated to fulfill what he said. Or not right to do it, and he's meant to keep his word, but there's no way to actually legally oblige him in a bezdin, let's say, to reclaim that money. That's something called a smachta, which is why, so for instance, if you make a deal with someone and you put into the contract that if he does such and such against the thing, he'll have to pay you £10,000, an exaggerated sum, and you both didn't think it would happen, but it actually happens in the end, then it could be he's not obliged, even if it says it in the contract. So the Gemara says about, in Sanhedrin, the Gemara talks about all the people that are apostle eidos. So it has a list of people that we don't let them give eidos for whatever reason. One of them is a Masachet Bekuvia, someone that plays with dice. So Masachet Bekuvia is apostle eidos, plays with dice, obviously some similar idea to gambling. He played through dice, got money, lost money. And the Gemara asks why. Mike Ovid, what did he do? What's he done wrong? He's playing a game with his friends. He's got some money, he's playing a game. Why should he become possibly aid us for such a thing? So the Gemara says, so he says, because of this principle called the smachta, when the person threw the dice and said he'll give £20, I'm going to say, if it lands on an odd number, he never really planned on giving it. He never thought it would happen. He didn't plan on giving it. Therefore, when the person, when he wins and he takes the money, then he's stealing from his friend because his friend doesn't really want to give it to him. And therefore, he's a sort of thief. And therefore, like a normal thief is possibly does so to a gambler is possibly does. Then the Gemara carries on, it says, Rapshisha, someone, no, Koga, a gambler, lava smachta, that's not an asmachta. So why is he possibly does? It's not, he doesn't have a good job, he doesn't have a normal job. He doesn't do a normal thing that normal people do. So you want to ask, what's the difference between these two reasons? And what says the reason? The difference is, so if he has another alternative business. So according to the first mandama, the person that says an asmachta, it's like robbery. So then even if he does it on a one-off, an occasion, on a Thursday night, he goes, plays a game. So he's an occasional thief. He's also a thief. He's also possibly a das. But according to the second reason, the reason of Reb Sheva is that because he doesn't have any normal business, then it's only if this is what he lives off. If this is his sole income, or usually not an income, but this is what he does the whole day, only then does it become possibly a das. So,
why does it pass to him that Eidos if he doesn't have a normal job?
So that's what we're going to come to. So yeah, that's the same. So we'll have to establish two things from this Gemara. Firstly, why is it not an asmachta? Why should it not be? Why is it different than general places where we do have an asmachta? And also, why is this thing in Umnasadahu? Why does it become possible Eidos? So he doesn't have a regular job. What happens if someone's unemployed? You're going to say he's possible Eidos? What's he done wrong? And based on that, then we'll be able to get to clarity about various things. So start with first things first is, the first line of the Gemara says, no, this isn't an asmachta, so why not? So there's various reasons given in the Rishonim. Rashi says, because it's not biyodi, meaning a normal asmachta, when someone's doing a business deal, then you talk about what happens if, I don't know, you won't put up the insurance, or you won't do something. So he says, don't worry, I'm going to sort out the insurance, no problem. If I don't, I'll pay you £10,000. So then, he never planned on that happening. He never planned on that outcome. He obviously said that because he believed that he'll manage to sort out the insurance. And that's why he promised this exaggerated sum if he doesn't. Therefore, we say he didn't mean it, and he doesn't have to pay. But here, when the person threw the dice, what was he thinking? He didn't know what was going to land on. There's no way of knowing. It's pure chance. And if he obviously was willing to take this risk, it's a 50-50 risk, He was happy to put himself in that risk, and therefore he knew he doesn't have a choice, he doesn't have a way of influencing the outcome, and therefore he is going midas, he does mean it. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos has two other reasons based on a few questions from other Gemaras. So Rav Inasam says one reason is because there's a difference between the normal asmachta, the only chance, the only stand to lose. So therefore you're not going midas. This person said he'll sort out the insurance, otherwise he'll lose £10,000. He doesn't stand to gain from this deal, and therefore he never means it. Whereas by gambling, it's the case of the dice, then he stands equally a chance to win as to lose, and therefore he's going with that, because he knows, either I'll lose money or I'll win money. Therefore it's a fair thing. A gambling mentality is it's a willing, he's willing to go in that risk of earning £20 and losing £20. Another reason he gives is that by gambling, that's what you're coming to do. Meaning, the cases of asmachta you find in other Gemaras and all that is someone's doing a business deal, someone's trying to hire a worker, they're not sure about something, they're not sure about a clause, he's trying to convince him, he says, you know what, let's add in. If I don't do that, I'll pay you money. Or if this happens, I'll pay you money. That's not really what they're coming to do. They're not coming to do this extra bit. It's just an addition, they don't really mean it. While this person that's coming to his game of dice, that's what he's coming to do. He's not, obviously he means it. He won't come to his game of dice if he doesn't mean to pay up. So therefore he says that is why it is a kinyan and it works. So now l'halacha, the Rambam paskens like the first mandam of that, it's an asmachta and it's considered stealing. And therefore he famously says it's osa to play any sort of gambling games, and he doesn't have any heta, he says it's osa, it's all gezel, although he calls it gezel medverim, it's only durabonon, meaning he held that it's not a real stealing like robbing a bank, but it's still called stealing, and he asks it, and the Shulchan Aruch goes with it, and the Rebbe Ovadia Yosef was very strongly for this, to say that for Svadim it's osa for them to gamble. He takes it very far, he says buying lottery tickets, which we'll see soon, is debatable even for Svadim. He takes it very far and he says they're not allowed to gamble at all, even occasionally, because the Rambam held it was stealing. But the Ramon, the Ashkenazim hold, like the second mandam in the Gemara, that it's not stealing. The only problem is ein umno selahu. If that's what you do as a living, only then is it a problem. Interestingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos mentions that it's talking about there if you're allowed to. They made like a sort of a bet who should get the bigger portion in the Friday night meal. Who should get a bigger piece of chicken? So he talks about whether you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, but the Mishnah Berurah there adds in, he says, you should know that doing such things is called Gezel Medvareim, and you shouldn't do it even in the weekday. And he adds in Sharatin at the bottom, he says, that's what we say in Chosha Mishpah, in the Dasa Rambam, and he says, even the people that argue say you shouldn't really do it for other reasons. Which means he obviously saw that there was a problem in it, and even though he knew that for Ashkenazim you can't say it's clearly Osa because it's Gezel, he said, it's not advisable. So, before we come on to Ein Omna Selahu, so if we go with Ashkenazim and we say it's not stealing, so playing dice is not stealing, we saw three reasons why this may be. Either because he didn't know if he's going to win or lose, so he obviously meant to do it. Number two is because he had a chance of winning. Number three is because that's what he's coming to do. Now, different games, some will have all the reasons, some will not. So again, a game of dice that you're literally doing like what they used to do, throw dice and odds or evens or flipping a coin, that would, according to everyone, will be fine. It won't be stealing because you have all these reasons. Whereas a game of poker is a bit more problematic because, according to Rashi will still say it's an asmachta. Because in a game of poker, a person comes with a plan on winning. He thinks he's better, he knows how to bluff, he knows how to play the game better. He knows it's also a bit up to chance, but he's hoping that his skill will get around and will help him win the game. And therefore, according to Rashi says the whole reason why it's not Gezev is because he doesn't know it's... He's got no idea if he's going to win or not. It's pure luck, and therefore he's going madas. He means it. By poker, he won't be able to say that, and it could be according to Rashi, poker will be also even according to Ashkenazim, because it doesn't have this idea, this same benefit like playing with dice. But according to other reasons, the reasons that he's got a chance of winning as much as losing, and the fact that he's coming to play poker, that's what he's coming to do, it's not part of a wider business deal, those two will still apply. And therefore, l'alocha, because most people go with other reasons, then poker will be mutter, strictly speaking, because of Gezel. There won't be any Gezel for Ashkenazim. There's no Gezel because we say the person meant it. And therefore, it will not be stealing. We're going to come on to, in a minute, the professional gambler and why he's more of a problem. But just as a another point that's important in halacha there is that in halacha, just saying things isn't a kinyan. So if I say I'm going to give you £20, I don't actually have to. There's sometimes a machos emon, it's called lack of trustworthy to back out, but he won't be able to take you to a Beis Din and say, you owe me £20 because you said it. You have to do a kinyan. So the person can say that even by gambling, so if you play a poker game and you promise that if you win, you'll get whatever the money is, so where's the kinyan? You haven't done a kinyan. So very nice, it's not a smachta, it's not stealing. But how can you obligate him to pay you £100 at the end of the game if there was no kinyan? So they say it's true. If without a kinyan, you won't be able to actually force him to give the money. Maybe he'll be correct because he promised, but you won't be able to force him. If you want to do it in a way that you'll be able to force him, you have to do, but complicated, you'll have to do a proper kinyan beforehand. The question is, what kinyan can you do beforehand? So he's talking about saying that the table is sort of belongs to everyone, and whoever wins like gets whatever on the table. That would be
a good enough if you put things in before you play, or when you only claim it afterwards.
Yeah, that's all for if you really go into it and the person refuses to pay and you want to take the birth, then that will be the difference. But in general, even if you play a game, then he should be trustworthy, then he should follow through what he says. But there's always a point in that they all these things, besides for there's always a problem with asmachta, you have to actually have a kinyan for it to start.
But for him not to do, would that be an isser, or would that be a liyachal dvori? Would that be something like that?
Or if he doesn't
pay up? If he doesn't pay up.
It won't be by liyachal dvori, because that's only by nadorim and kabonos, or by nadorim for stocker. So unless they actually had some, stocker did a poker tournament, I don't remember which one, so then I'm not sure maybe if it's got a halacha of stocker, if they should do or not. They did some poker tournament and then 50% of the proceeds went to stocker. So maybe that's a bit more problematic. But if it's a game between friends, then there won't be. But liachel, it might be a mechus emon. It's just not trustworthy to not follow through.
Could you have some sort of written agreement? Can you
So you'd have to word it the quite thing, it, because like it's quite hard to word something that's not yet happened. And it's not, what are you going to write that? Yeah, it can be done. It'll just have to be done. Correctly. Yeah, carefully. You're going to come with a whole chishmish mishmash before you poke a game. I'm not sure how well it will go down, but technically you could do it with a shtar. So now we come on to the other main point in this, which will lead to other cases, which is that if, as we said, there's not a problem, it's not stealing, so what's wrong? So if someone's a professional poker player, this is what he likes doing, this is what he's successful at, why does he suddenly become posel eidos? And based on that, then we could check, go to different cases and see if they have this same problem. So someone that deals in property, in Bitcoin, in stocks, is he different than this person that was Masachi Bekuvia? So to start with, Rashi on the Gemara there says that he doesn't know any rules and laws of the general wider world. So what does that mean? So he seems to be talking about in those days, and even nowadays, there was one thing, there was an industry, there was normal business of buying and selling, then it was more produce or whatever it was, and you interacted with people, and there were rules, there were government rules, there were taxes, there were things, and you knew how the business world worked, and you were knowledgeable about it, and therefore when you come to give eidos about something, you know what's happening. You know if he owes him money, okay, he wrote a shtar, he didn't write a shtar, he did pay him back, you know how to judge it, that you could go and give the testimony in the Beis Din, and you have a knowledge of what's going on. Whereas the gambler in those days seemed to be someone that sat in his cafe playing backgammon or whatever it was. And he didn't recognize, he didn't know any laws, he didn't know any rules, it wasn't a regulated thing. He didn't know the system of the business world. And therefore, if he's coming to give a testimony in Beis Din, he says, I think he owes money because he did this or that, he's not coming with a knowledge of how normal business practice works.
So it's not because of his character or because of what he's actually involved in. It's more of a lack of knowledge.
Yeah, that's what Rashi seems to say. He's got a lack of knowledge.
According to that, it could be for dealing with fossils or non-money.
No, because we have a rule that anyone that's possible for Dinim Ominous is possible for Dinim Foshas. But yeah, you're right. Really, the reasoning here is just a thing that he doesn't understand how Ominous work. But again, they gave him, they consider him therefore not trustworthy in everything, because he also doesn't understand the implications of lying, and we'll see. But yeah, it's a good point that according to this reasoning, it shouldn't be such a problem for Dinim Foshas. But no, La Halacha, he is possible, but that's also because there's other reasons given. So the Meiri adds in, he throws in a few reasons in a go, but interesting. He says that first of all, he's trained to lie. So he obviously was talking about a game like poker or such a thing, not a dice game. And he says they train to lie, and he's trained that it doesn't matter to lie, and you're better if you lie. And therefore, he gets used to this mentality, and he can't differentiate between truth and lie. When he comes to someone else and he's giving a eidos, he's so used to it, the whole lie, no one will realize, and he won't even fault himself for lying. because he's so used to it. And this will be only someone that was had such a type of gambling game that relied on bluffing and lying. It's not all gambling. And he also adds in that he doesn't know, that he doesn't recognize the struggles of people in business, which I'm not sure why. Obviously, then that's the type of people they were. And also, he doesn't care to make others lose money. So, and this is now a key point. So, what is this? He doesn't care to make others lose money. Right, and this is where we get to the key difference between a gambler and, let's say, someone that deals in shares. Because really, people say, oh, dealing in the stock market is like gambling. What do they mean? They just mean that it's very high risk and you don't really know what's going to happen. But there's a fundamental difference between someone that's, let's say, dealing in shares and a gambler. And that is when you deal in shares, let's say, for instance, someone bought a share for £1, he's selling it for £10. Right? So when you buy it for £10, he's not losing any money, you're not losing any money. Why? Because at this point, there's something there called a share, and it's worth £10. He's getting £10 because that's what it's worth. You're paying £10 because that's what it's worth. He's selling it because he thinks in the future it's going to go down. You're buying it because you think it's going to go up. Now, even if it goes up in the end, no one lost really money. He didn't realize his potential gain. He could have earned money if he would have seen the future, but he knew he couldn't. He didn't see the future, and he might kick himself. He's not upset at the other person. The other person didn't take his money because at the time, the person paid the true value of the share. Therefore, the business model isn't to take someone else's money, it's to buy and sell at the current value. And so too will be buying properties or Bitcoin, even if it's not something tangible. At the end of the day, there's something there that nowadays has got a value and it's worth something. And therefore, if you buy and sell it, then again, if you bought Bitcoin for £10, you're selling it for £1,000, you're selling it because you don't believe it's going to go up anymore, or because you need the £1,000 to spend. But the person buying is not doing anything wrong. He's not taking any money away from you. All he's doing is buying something that's worth £1,000. Whereas, therefore, if someone is a professional like that, he doesn't have the problems that we said. There's no lying involved. It's a normal business. There's regulations. There's normal laws.
The price is being set by the market as well. Neither of those two people are setting the price.
Right. Yeah. But even if theoretically they would, as in. Yeah, it's true, it goes with the market, but even if they would, it's the price that they both believe something's worth now that they sell it. As opposed to gambling, if someone gambles, then they're not buying anything, you're not selling anything, you're...
The only way to make money is by the
other person losing.
The only way of making money is by causing the other person to lose.
So that's a big difference, and there's interesting, there was a fascinating person called Yehuda Modena, Leon Modena, heard of it. Some Aubrey Hirsch gave a history podcast. He mentioned him. He did what, a 2-3 about him. He was a Italian.
The Zaya.
The?
What? The Zaya? No.
He was the?
He found the Zaya, that one?
No, that was someone else. That was earlier. Similar name. I forgot his name, but yeah, I don't mean, no, he was someone else. He lived about 400 years ago and he was a fascinating character. He was a philosopher, a poet, a musician, a rav. He was anti-Kabbalah. He was anti, and he didn't live so long, but he did a lot in his life, and one of his big things, he was a compulsive gambler his whole life, and he kept getting in trouble and he kept getting thrown out of town and he had to get extra jobs to try to pay it off. But interestingly enough, when he was 13, he wrote a sefer on gambling. Don't know if he had a premonition about it, what he's going to be like, but he wrote a whole, but it's also long, about 40 pages, a booklet on gambling, and it's written in an old style of like a dialogue between two people, one pro gambling, one against gambling. And he's got there a few parochim, and one's about the halacha, and he goes through this whole sugya. You see, he was already, he knew everything. And one is about ethics, and he goes through one's poems. They each write poems backwards and forwards, poetry, like, it's very interesting. It's like opposing poetry, pro and against. And there's a lot of interesting points there. One of the points that he brings out at length is this point, that he says that, at the end of the day, the only way you can make money by gambling is by taking someone else's money, by someone else losing money. There's always someone that walks out upset because he's lost his money. And therefore, that's the difference that between that and business. And also he adds in as well, he goes through about why it's addictive and how a person always loses in the end, as opposed to business, he doesn't. It's very interesting there, he goes at length about these points. So what have we said? So we said that the stealing, we've got around the Ashkenazim, there's no problem of the stealing because we paskin, it's not a snafta for various reasons, and except poker and tarashi, but most other gambling and things will not be called stealing. But we do see that someone that's a professional gambler, we consider him unethical, either because he doesn't know laws, or because his business is lying, or because his business model is to take someone else's money and make someone else lose money. And therefore, that's a problem. So this also, though, does show, usually halacha and hashkafa are two different things. So you have chushimishba thing, tell you about, is it mutter or asa? And then you can have your Rav saying what's advised. You shouldn't gamble, it's addictive on that. But here, there is a bit of a crossover, because you see, by doing this a lot, we actually pass alim le'edah. So it shows that it was frowned upon. They're not saying that it's, they're promoting it, that because the Gemara comes out, it's not stealing. Therefore, they were promoting tournaments in the Gemara, because you see, if it's someone that, if he does this a lot, he's going to be considered a apostle. You saw what sort of look they had against them, and there's a Rivosh who goes on about it, about how addictive it is, and it's fascinating to see this. The mentality hasn't changed, the way he describes it, how some people lose all the money over it, and then how addictive it is, and time-wasting. You go through, and you see that, till today, it's the same people's minds haven't changed about these things. But, so as we said, and buying investments, even if it's high-risk investments, not saying it's advised or not, but there's a big fundamental difference that you're actually buying and selling something with a value more, with a value, you're not stealing the other person's money. Where it gets one more, which is also good, is buying lottery tickets. So there again, what are you buying? It's also really betting in a way. So say that's not a problem, because the same thing, you're buying a ticket, the ticket's, it's got a value, you're buying something, let's say £10, because there's a small chance of you winning a lot of money. So you're getting something tangible that you're paying for with the chance of it making a lot of money. So Ravadi itself in his Chuva, he does say it's Asa. He says that's not what's really happening. End of the day, it's a sort of gambling, and he wanted to hear a Chuva that even for Svadin, they can't buy even national lottery tickets and all these things. It will be Asa for them to buy. But
what's his reason for it?
Why doesn't he say you're buying something?
Yeah, why? Because there is a chance you could win. Mm. Is he rejecting that svara? Is he say, what? Why is he saying you?
So he goes through. He says firstly that he goes with the Rambam that says, goes like the man down the ground that it isn't asmachta. So we ignore these other reasons that the Rishonim gave why gambling isn't asmachta, because he doesn't know he's going to win, because he knows it's up to chance. That we ignore that and we say it's stealing. But
that's if the operator's non-Jewish, then...
Right, so he was talking about, you know, sorry, they were Jewish. But there were other problems with his tshuva that people pointed out. Isvadi Gedolim at the time pointed out, could be this way, even mean as well. First of all, this point that you're buying something and therefore you're not really gambling, you're buying something that has a value because of the chance. Secondly, they pointed out that you're not actually taking their money, meaning... So what's the problem? To buy a ticket, not a problem, you're giving them money. So what's his problem? His problem was the person that won. When you won, you're not really taking away the people that bought tickets money. The prize money was there in place, and they have to do it either way. It was regulated. So that's a separate pot of money. So who are you stealing from? The fact that they're giving out money for the lottery, they knew they're going to have to give out. They knew someone's going to win. So they definitely had a plan to give it. So they couldn't tell what he meant, who you're actually stealing from. So he wrote another letter, he wrote that, no, that the way he understands how it works is that all the money gets put into pot in the middle, and then that's how he understands it, and then you take from that. So it means your winning is taking from people that put in. It's a bit like how a split the pot nowadays will work in one of these Chinese auctions, whatever it is, it's split the pot.
That's where the pot is variable, but when the prize is fixed.
So there's quite a few, there's a lot of been written on that chuva, and I spoke to once someone that I know, like Svadi Rav, who said that even Ravadi, the reason why he wrote it was at the time he felt that there was a very strong thing of people wasting a lot of money and that, and therefore he didn't change halacha, but he went like a very chumradika stance on all these topics, on all these points. He was trying to bring out a point, he was trying to make a statement and say. There's also another reason why, let's say, when the schools and these things make Chinese auctions and whatever, even for Svadi, it won't be a problem, and that is, we say in asmachta by stocker. That when you promise stocker money, if such a thing would happen, then you have to fulfill your promise. Even though, why didn't you say it's a smachta? I never thought that would happen. If they win the game, then I'll give £10 to stocker. That's a smachta. You don't say that. Why? Because people's mindset, when they're giving stocker, they're happy to give, and they're going with that, and they mean to give it. And that's what we pass. And therefore, if you have a school or a shul or wherever it is making a lottery, even if it is a split the pot, even if it's done in a bit of a gambling way, it wouldn't be a problem of a smachta because of that. Since it's a stocker, you anyway get around that. He was talking about when it's a national lottery, not a stocker. So that's why lotteries aren't a problem at all. The problem still is betting. Again, if you're betting on a one-off, then it wouldn't be such a problem, because again, it's not stealing, you're not taking anyone's money that put in the other bet, unless you do it between friends. It's usually a much bigger structure, it won't be a problem. But someone that's a professional bettor, someone that would technically, if you would have someone that spends his whole day betting against, let's say, sports, so usually this is money, but let's say he would manage to be successful at it and make money, is he considered someone like the professional Masacha Bekovia, the professional gambler that became possible Eidos? Because here we don't really have, we have some of the reasons and not the others. So the reason that he makes the other person lose money, so by betting you're not really buying anything off someone, so therefore there is a bit of a thing to say that his way of making money is by someone else losing money. So that reason doesn't really apply.
Wouldn't make a difference whether it was a big organization or if it's, you go to the horse races and there's an individual bookmaker who runs it himself and he's the only person. Would it make a difference then?
It could be, because someone, this is a very unclear point. So yeah, someone says that sort of when you have a very big organization, you know they're making a fortune out of it. You know that they've got their system watertight. They're making the most money out of it. So they know, and they know that some people have to win for their business model to work. If no one wins, and if they put the bets too often, no one's going to go to it. So this is all part of the business model. And therefore, it's a completely different thing. You're not making money sort of on this person losing. It's not like talking about someone that was a professional poker player and is in the cafe in town that everyone knew that he always won and everyone hated him because he always took their money. It was sort of, this is their business structure. They're more than happy for it to happen, and therefore you're not sort of taking stealing. So yeah, it's not clear. Maybe if it's a smaller one, then it'll be a problem. But on the other hand, nowadays, now that it's so regulated, then you don't have the other reasons of that he doesn't know the laws of the land and he doesn't know how people work.
Would it be a problem for the person who's running it if it was the one who owned the company? They were the bookmakers, because they are then relying on everybody else losing, in effect, apart from the money which they're going to give out. They're structured in a way that the only way they can make money is is by everyone losing. So it's not that he is the gambler. He is the one who's setting up the gamble, and therefore he is, in effect, the other way around. The only way he can make his money is by everyone else losing.
Yeah, it could be. Also, someone's asked me to own a casino or such a thing. Is that going to be... So a professional poker player who says a problem. What about owning casinos? Is that a problem? So, yeah, it's hard. We don't really have the clear-cut halachas for this, because it didn't seem to be such a widespread thing then with such a structure. Nowadays everything, even gambling, has a structure, has rules, it has regulations, it has bodies, and it has people that can own empires out of it. But now it's very hard to say that it's very hard to say that this person who's never played poker and he doesn't, yes, his business structure, but he runs it like a normal business. It's his managers that are doing it, sort of what's making him, he runs it like a normal business. He opened a facility, hired the right managers, he's working it the same way as another businessman who has something doing a regular company.
Having a casino is about statistics.
Yeah, it's statistics.
You let everybody win, but the idea is that they keep coming back, and one day they will lose everything they made and more.
Yes, it's not such a nice business. But the question is, does he, in all these cases, does he get the same idea of what Chazal was saying, that someone that's a professional gambler, whose thing is to take someone else's money or to lie, becomes possible aid us, and therefore you see it's also, does that apply to someone that's never really been into casino, you have someone that just buys them and sells casinos or whatever, or invests in them. So you're not going to say he is. Yeah. We're talking about someone that owns a table or whatever, and he runs it. That could be a professional.
But in that original case, you've got two people.
Right.
One is the professional gambler, if you like, doing the taking of the money.
Yeah.
And the other is the willing person who walks in the door and wants to gamble. So you've got one person on either side of the table.
Right.
These days, the person still comes in, but it's they're betting against the computer. They're betting against the algorithm, not people.
Right.
So it's not the same case. The original case is two people, one either side.
Right. So let's say you put money in a slots machine.
Yeah. That's pure chance, right? Again,
so it's
an algorithm.
Yeah.
That's not the case of anymore, is it? That's the person playing the dice.
Yeah, that's person playing the dice. Right. So that's what. So, but that's the. It depends what you're going. If you're going for Svadim, if they be Osa, then that will be the key difference. So if he's playing a game against a friend and and he's taking his money, then it'll be stealing, and that will be a problem. Whereas maybe if it's an algorithm or a computer, it could be the same. But, and it depends which reason you go with. If we're going that nowadays, you want to go off one offer, you go past, you want to put some money in a slot machine or in a 2p machine on a pier, you know what it is, these, and it moves, and you try to get some things, keeping your kids busy, whatever it is. So then you don't have the problem of stealing for Ashkenazim, definitely, because it's pure chance and you don't have any of the issues. So then the only question will be, if someone does that professionally, is that a problem? So now, again, so if you, let's say, you won't have someone that professionally goes and does these games of pure chance, because you won't be able to make a profession out of it, because no one makes the money out of it. But as a one-off, then it would be mutter to do it, because you won't have it. You won't be stealing from anyone, because it's pure chance, and sort of it's set up for this to happen, and no one's actually, you're not stealing the money from anyone.
You're not lying.
You're not lying at all. There's no lying involved.
No bluffing involved.
There is lying behind it usually, because you need to borrow money from everybody around you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like from them, how to get money.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah,
like you come on for the money gone.
Yeah, so you come with that remains that it's not to be condoned, and then already it's amazing to see you read some of the way that these Rishonim write about how they've watched people lose all their money and how they explain how it's addictive and time wasting, and you see they know what they're talking about, and these things, it's not a new problem, it's been like that always. So just to summarize, so we see that there's a wide range of issues. The first issue is always, is it called stealing or not, which we said for Ashkenazim it's generally not a problem. For Sfadim, then gambling could be much more of an issue, and it could be even a one-off game is a problem of poker or whatever it may be. But for Ashkenazim there won't be an issue. The main issue is if someone that does it professionally, and also it shows if Chazal is saying that someone that does it professionally becomes Pasad Eidus because he's trained to lie and he's trained to not care about people and he's trained to take other people's money, it shows that they didn't think it was a great way of making money or spending your time. And the other point is that when you high risk investments, however high risk it is, and even if people call it gambling in the sense that it's a gamble, meaning you don't know if you're going to win and maybe it's not advisable, but it's not under the halachic parameters for what gambling is. It doesn't have any of that, since generally what you're doing is you're buying and selling something of value, and therefore you're not making money off someone else losing, you're actually selling something of value. Except where it gets a bit, I think it is betting nowadays, where you're less buying and selling, and it is much more similar to gambling.
Sure.